Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Barbecue and sports in Memphis go together perfectly with us. You're listening to the Jason and John Show live from the Topps Barbecue Studios, online at toppsbarbecue.com, and with a new location in Bartlett on Stage Road. The best barbecue and burgers from Topps go perfectly with sports on 92.9 FM ESPN.
This is from Breaking.
An electric boogaloo, bro.
Man, I sure appreciate this blast from the past. I told you, I wanted to be Ozone.
Yep.
The light-skinned brother, because I thought that was me. We even did.
Dancing?
My mom put together, imagine a white mother, Midtown Memphis, putting together a breakdancing routine for three fools at Roselle Elementary. And we were using the Breaking album, bro.
Yeah.
We actually, to put the routine together, we did the performance at Roselle. We lost.
The talent show?
Yeah, we lost.
Oh, man.
Man, she had us in the line, had us, hold up, real fast, before we get to the rundown. You ever seen this one? She had seen it on the
sure.
show, thought it would be cool.
Yeah.
She put us in a line, one behind the other.
Yes.
And we did the arms.
Yeah.
So we tried to make it look like a special, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like we
it's
were
like
all moving.
Because you got the dude behind you.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all.
Looked like three damn fools. And we lost. We lost to some, as a matter of fact, breakdancing was so big back then, we lost to some real breakdancers.
Well, they were authentic.
Yeah.
That real skill.
Back then, too, we had the shiny gloves.
Y'all use those big baggy pants, too?
Yeah, that Michael Jackson glove, everybody had one of those.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Baggy pants. No, that was later with MC Hammer.
Okay.
Later with MC Hammer, bro.
But they had the tight roll at the bottom, though, didn't they? The special pants. It's like that breakdancing pants.
No, your boy Ozone would wear baggy stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. So I appreciate the blast in the past. You took me back there.
I thought so.
Matter of fact, let's head on into the rundown.
Now, it's The Rundown, presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
So, Giannis was awesome. Finals are over. Bucks win 4-2. Second title in franchise history. First since Oscar and Kareem did in 71. Okay, got all that. We talked a lot about it yesterday. I did not hear this, though, yesterday. We were busy giving you our own observations and thoughts and everything else on the finals. I did not hear those of Jalen Rose.
Oh.
And, Brad, if you've got the audio, apparently yesterday on, I think it was on my favorite show, Get Up.
It's on, you were the.
It was on my favorite show, Get Up, and I didn't even see it.
Before the rise of Get Up, you were the only viewer on that
I was the only
show.
Person
you
to watch.
You were way ahead of your time.
And I helped get them through.
You did.
And they went to a lot of NFL, I think, and having, you know, having Greenberg,
yes.
you know, sort of settle on NFL, and that was going to be their thing. Mm-hmm. I think that's helped them. Back to the point.
Yes.
They did a little NBA that I apparently missed, and it was Jalen Rose, Kendrick Perkins. Listen to Jalen Rose putting Kendrick in his place.
Good morning, gentlemen. And so I was at the game last night, just like Big Perk was. Congratulations to the entire team, ESPN and ABC, for covering it. I barely got like an hour's sleep. I just flew to Detroit, and I wanted to make sure I was on this segment, and both of you guys look handsome today. Let me talk to Kendrick Perkins for a second. Okay. Good morning, Big Perk. Now, you did a great job of covering this. Okay. Now, you did a great job covering this year's NBA Finals. But you know what happens, Greeny? Young folks like this that's been doing this job like 5 years, they get one or two things right. They get one or two catchphrases. Then they come over here with their Dr. Seuss lines, wearing their 80s pastor suits, and think all of their takes are going to be hot. So let me tell you a couple of things that I heard Perk say about this series. Didn't he just slander Coach Bud the entire year about not making adjustments? Hey, Perk, the number one adjustment this year was giving the ball to Middleton the last couple of minutes of a game. Drew Holiday isn't the best two-way player in the NBA. Last night, you saw the best two-way player in the NBA. That's actually Giannis Antetokounmpo. And Chris Middleton is not Batman. That happens to be the Greek Freak. And don't try to flip it and say, oh, now he's Superman. You could just say that take was off. By the way, what happened to your guy DeAndre Ayton? Let me finish. What happened to your guy DeAndre Ayton? Is he still David Robinson? I didn't see him. Is he still David Robinson? Are the Suns still a dynasty?
Can Perk talk?
Bro, he went in on Big Perk.
Now,
what in the hell, Jalen Rose?
As we were pulling this up, Brad asked me off air, like, is something personal going on there? Like, what's got, because you can, it is. It was over the top. Jalen doesn't usually go in on something. First, he's checking him in his suits, calling him 80s pastor suit wearing.
I don't think I'd say that to Perk.
So didn't just get on his appearance, but just roasted Perk's takes. Now, I will say this. I've got a special place in my heart for Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah.
Because Kendrick Perkins loves the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
And he's been on this show. And he's also used to call Rudy Gobert Gobert.
Yeah, that was
and how you not gonna like somebody that calls Gobert Gobert with his flopping with his flopping self.
I heard that.
That said, and Kendrick, what he says he was with Monica McNutt that he picked Memphis over Golden State. I didn't see he wasn't on the list, but I believe him there.
Okay.
And so we love him, we love him. He
sure.
likes the Grizz.
Yeah, he's cool.
But he does be flip flopping. And Jalen Rose undressed him right there. And so here's what I think that was, Brad. You asked me if it was personal.
Yeah, I want to hear the why.
I don't think it was as much personal as it was this. I think Kendrick Perkins just if I'm not mistaken, re-upped with ESPN.
Ooh, let me look that up.
Yeah, I think he re-upped, if I'm not mistaken. Everybody was congratulating him all that, and he deserves it.
Well, he was accessible for us for a while.
I think he's sort of. I mean, he's like the new Barkley, y'all. Whether you want to give it to him or not, and Barkley's been doing this longer, so now he's certainly more polished.
Here it is, multi-year extension happened back in May.
And this felt like to me, Jalen. Making sure Kendrick Perkins putting him back in his place. That you know I'm the king dog around here as far as the analyst. And maybe with a little bit of fun, because I'm poking at you about your pastor suits from the 80s and all that. But this felt like to me just saying, hey man, you know I got countdown right. Like don't you know I'm the big dog around here and I'm gonna put you back in your place because everybody else because you're Big Perk is scared to hold you to your bad takes. They let you know again. Perk's been on a lot of good, he's had a lot of good takes, and I think that's why he's taken off. But this looked like the first time where somebody's really called him out on it.
Yep.
And of course, you know, Jalen Rose ain't scared. That looked like to me putting him in his place for some bad takes during these finals.
Here's my thoughts on
Jalen Rose,
this
top dog at ESPN. That's what he was telling him.
First of all, as somebody who produces the Jason and John show, I can appreciate a good roast. Like, you guys started this check-in thing a couple years ago, and we need to bring that back for the Olympics, by the way.
I think we're waiting for John's triumphant return.
We need to fire it up.
Which is, the Olympics will still be going, August 2nd?
Yes, sir.
And we're going to do it then.
I've been asking. I was just excited.
I wanted us to be whole first.
Yeah, I understand.
But we're not going to miss this chance, y'all got to know. Especially with the Olympics going.
Yes!
Now, hopefully,
I've had people asking about this, Jason.
Hopefully, the Olympics won't be canceled.
Then you may be the only Olympics.
And ladies and gentlemen, even if they are canceled before that time, opening ceremonies are tomorrow. By the way, they've already started. Women's soccer's already lost. Yeah. But even if they are, we'll still do
checking
Olympics anyway.
Okay,
it's we're overdue.
Yeah.
And we have that big trophy in the office waiting on its next victor. So
I think Jalen Rose he just trademarked a check-in. That was a hell of a nice little spike in there with the pastor
he dropped
pastor
it on him smooth.
Looking ass suit drop. Yeah. Like that is a strong check.
I will say that Jalen he's hard to check because his hairline's so strong.
I think some of that's
when you think it's done up.
I think it's done up. I think he got work.
No. You mean like you think that's a spray?
It's a little touch up going on.
I don't think so, bro.
Jalen is touching up. There is touch-up. It's too good. It's too good, Jason. It's perfect.
I mean, if he's getting touched up, Brad, he doesn't need it.
Maybe not. I mean, it's nice. He's put together pretty well.
I've seen it because he on Instagram. I think he puts out shots of when he just leaves the barber, which is just about every other day to have his hairline as pow, pow, pow,
he gets it
as
every
his
day.
Is.
He gets it done every day.
Yes, and it is hard to check a grown man with a hairline that strong. You have to come correct. And Jalen gives you few things in terms of ammo that you can get on. But Perk, with some of his pronunciations, the pastor
the
suits,
Gobert
he
stuff.
He left too much hanging out there for Jalen not to slap.
Can
and
I?
So I don't know what I've not heard, and I guess it didn't go viral.
Yeah.
What Perk said
what
back to him,
was.
But it sure sounded like he wasn't gonna have much to say because Jalen undressed.
And I like both of them. I like both of them.
Oh yeah, they're
you
both great.
See in the clip though, Greeny is very uncomfortable.
There's a reason they're with the ESPN signed up.
But
I think Greeny felt like, is this getting personal? There might be some tension here.
It felt personal. Well, it really did.
I think both of you guys were misreading it.
Okay. White folks getting uncomfortable.
And it was just Jalen sort of marking his territory.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and let me be the one person going to hold you accountable around here, Perk. Yep. Aha, here's my joke about your suits. That's it. We're moving on. But he undressed him, and he did it publicly.
Next story.
All right, I got this story about Texas and Oklahoma eyeing
the biggest
a move
story
to the
in
SEC.
Sports right now.
Yeah, and this is the biggest, and this is big in our area because Memphis could be holding on to the rails to see what we can do. But Texas and Oklahoma have made serious inquiries, according to the Houston paper there, with the SEC about leaving the Big 12. And the SEC is interested in adding two schools per sources. And here's why it matters. Such a move, of course, would totally blow up the Big 12. Brett McMurphy yesterday from Stadium said this is going to take some time, but there's interest on both sides. Earlier in the week, two schools, they're going to send a letter to the Big 12 stating that they will neither of those schools are going to renew their media contracts, and those expire in 2025. Now, there are plenty of things standing in the way of this happening. Namely, 11 of the 14 SEC schools have to approve this. The one that's not going to approve it is Texas A&M because yesterday Ross Bjork, he was the first one to be quoted on this, said, we want to be the only SEC school from the state of Texas. And then Missouri is the other one.
Which you get. Why would they want Texas back in with them? They got the hell away from them.
No.
They use their advantage is being able to say, go into Texas and say, you want to come play in the SEC?
Yep.
You can do that with us. Why would they want Texas in? So we completely get where Bjork is coming from.
No. And you don't want this if you're Texas A&M because of recruiting, because of money, because of everything you've got on the line in the state of Texas.
But it only takes 11 votes.
11 out of 14.
So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, does Bjork have anybody else? Is Missouri there? Whoever it is, I don't. It doesn't feel like there's going to be enough votes to keep that from happening if it indeed goes to that. Because the rest of those schools, like we talked about in the open, let's say a Kentucky or a Mississippi State or something that's hoping to climb the ladder to a point where you could stay there for a little while, right? Even in bringing in a Texas, ultimately in an Oklahoma, affects that ability. You still like it because you're going to like that money.
Too much money. It's too much because you're going from what we talked about last year was
44.6 or whatever that number
you
was.
You could potentially double it. You could potentially double
it. I don't think there's any question about it when ESPN or whoever is going to pay for a league like this that's already the best. You're not going to tell me it isn't, and then you add the brands that are Texas and Oklahoma, you're going to absolutely pay a fortune. So back to the point, those lower-tier schools that Texas A&M, Ross Bjork and them might be hoping you can make allies and say, no, they're going to be fine with it because they love that money. They'll keep taking those losses to get double the payments they're getting right now from their media rights deals.
Yes, and here's the problem if you're Memphis. There's one conference left hanging, and that's the Big 12. So the Big 12 schools that would remain if this were to happen has to pull in other schools to fill those two spots or potentially even add more. And here are the schools, according to the Mountain West Wire, because the Mountain West and the American are the two conferences that are really the biggest outside of those power conferences that are looked to get in. And here are the schools that they say are leading. BYU, Boise State, UCF, Cincinnati, and San Diego State. Memphis, it would not be listed as some of those to replace the Pac-12 schools.
That's where I go back to what we talked about in the open is I want to get my hopes up.
Yep.
I want to get excited about this potential, this conference realignment and how real it potentially looks and all that and what it could mean for Memphis. But we have done this before.
We've seen this movie, bro.
And what we do, it feels like every time, Brad, is we convince ourselves.
We get excited about us.
The cycle of this is you get your name on a list.
Yeah.
Possible. And that happened, what, about 5 years ago before we saw the finalist list and Memphis wasn't on it. But and then we say, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we tell ourselves, yes, look at what the program's built and look at all the support and look at FedEx and this and this and this and all the support you can have. And we convince ourselves that we're good
enough.
Well,
and you come off a Cotton Bowl against Penn State and you go, see, there you go.
But from that outside, it's not. Now, that said, what Memphis football has accomplished and been able to keep to go, that can only help you.
Right.
And what you've done with your facilities, that can only help you. But I'll be real honest with you. I'm tired. Maybe it's me not wanting to be burned again.
Yeah.
But of convincing myself we're good enough to, and I say we're as someone followed that program as a fan, then covered it everything else, but someone who still knows how much that program means to this city, it's to be at this point again. Yeah, sure, I want to believe you're good enough.
Yep.
But it's whether they think so, guys, that's ultimately going to determine this.
And you have competition in two conferences, not just your own, because you have to look at BYU, you got to look at Boise State,
are you the most attractive thing in the AAC? You have to ask yourself, and the question is, if you're being honest with yourself and looking in the mirror, you'd probably say that UCF, right. Houston,
Cincinnati,
if not, like I said, if not as attractive, more so. Mm-hmm. And I know that's what they probably think about UCF. Yeah. And the situation it's got down there, and it, you'd love to have that footprint down in Florida. So, you know, I want it to happen. Don't take that as you know, my skepticism as Jason doesn't want the best for Memphis. He does, and Lord knows the best thing for if you are in college athletics, in the business of college athletics, the best thing for you is going to be, as I said, on the right side of the tracks on this. If it ends up four super conferences, you know, as 16 teams, mm-hmm. you are clearly, you want to be one of the haves, and in the instance in that 64, then not. Because if you don't, I don't know, how do you sell it?
It's very difficult.
How do you sell the product
right.
if you're not playing with the big dogs?
The problem right? for Laird Veach is that he has four jobs right now. Fundraising, keeping your athletic program kicking ass in all of these programs, and then you're marketing and you're keeping the relationship with your existing conference, right? And then the fourth one is you're trying to figure out how you can get into the next super conference or a better conference while you're doing all those other jobs.
Always.
It's tough, man.
If you're trying, but let's say you're not one of those, let's just go with the whole 64 scenario and it's 4-16 team leagues that everybody seems to think that we're just sort of barreling to eventually, and you don't make it
so
in there.
So it's the Big 12, it's the Pac-12, ACC, and the SEC. Those are the four, I guess.
Well, if the Big 12 doesn't just disintegrate, I mean, you got.
I think
the
Big 12 just becomes bigger and
Big
just,
10.
Right.
You got the ACC, and you got to see what the Pac's going to do. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, you'll have the AAC trying to pull teams in and become its own.
Pac-12 tries to expand.
So how it shakes out, you know? But the ACC is going to be there.
Yeah.
Big 10's going to be there. Yeah. SEC's going to be there.
Big 10.
Three of them.
You got Big 10.
We'll see what happens with this. Yeah, we'll see what happens with the Big 12.
What a mess!
So there's a lot to figure out with that fourth one. But back to the point,
yeah.
Brad. If you're not in that 64, one of those four in the conference, and you're trying to sell your program mm-hmm. and have a program that's going to bring in fans, you think that those 64 are going to be eager to help you out and play you in a game? No. What happens with haves and have-nots? They shut the door on you.
Yeah.
So now you're going to have to figure out a way to be attractive to your fans to a point it gets people excited and moving with their pocketbooks, right, that it's financially worth doing with a bunch of second and third tier, not enough. You guys weren't good enough. You guys weren't big and strong enough to come with the big boys. How do you sell that, Brad? How do you have that sort of secondary-like program that's a success with the sort of facilities and everything that they've invested at the level they have?
It's very difficult.
Imagine how much more difficult the job would be for Memphis administrators, athletic director, Laird Veach, everybody, if you're not one of them, if you are put in that boat. That's why it's almost like you better get on this or it's going to look a lot different than even it does right now, guys, because, again, I don't know how you continue to, you know, get people excited when you're playing. You're not playing any of those 64 that, let's be real, all eyes in the country are on.
You go from having an opportunity to play Mississippi State.
So then it's us and Tulane trying, you know what I'm saying?
No,
us and ECU. Us and Tulsa. Yeah. Everybody that was on the outside looking in going absolutely trying to figure out, okay, how is this look attractive to you? It's like trying to put lipstick on a pig and sell it. You know, as,
it's very second run.
As a pretty girl.
It's very second run.
How much ESPN, anybody, Fox, going to pay for that media rights deal for you group of folks?
Right.
And unfortunately, it's dog eat dog.
Yep.
And you'd love for it to be fair and level playing field for everybody, and everybody gets a chance. But it ain't headed that way if we go to these big conferences. You're on the outside looking into that.
Dude, it's a little scary. It makes me feel like we're more Arkansas State than we are Arkansas.
It's going to be leveling down, guys. I don't think there's any question
about
it. Very
Sunbelty Conference USA.
So my hope, yes, is you've kept yourself in a position
right.
to be attractive enough to be pulled into one of these, whatever that fourth conference is going to look like. Whether it's the AAC and you're pulling in folks, whether it's the Big 12, they saved enough, now they're trying to pull in, or whether it's some other form of whatever it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hope you've kept yourself attractive enough. What the football program has done has helped that, but there ain't no guarantees, and I'm tired of being burned on it. I'm tired of having my heart.
I can tell
you're not happy about this. Tom Bowen convinced me they were in. I told you, sat me down, made me a cup of coffee. That's how good he was feeling.
Man made
me a cup of coffee. That's how good he was feeling about Memphis' chances of getting in the big. And everybody was wrong.
They weren't close.
You're being led on wrong.
Yeah.
And we had convinced to that point, Brett, ourselves.
Yeah. Right? That's true. We were talking about it on the station. Yeah.
Clearly, Bowen, all those guys.
Everybody believed it.
We bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Yep.
They didn't give it to us, so excuse me for my cynicism and skepticism.
I can feel it from you.
But I want to be there.
You felt burned.
My fear is that they'll leave us out like they always do. Hopefully that is... Hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully that's not the case. Next story. All right, I got to tell you about this Mikey Williams story. We touched on a little bit with Scal, touched on a little bit in the open, but want to get to the details. Woj broke the story this morning. Mikey Williams is a class of 2023 basketball prospect. He's a 6'2", 6'3", guard, number 7, not number 1. He's number 7 in the class of 2023. Okay, he has signed a deal, according to Woj, that will potentially generate him millions of dollars. He's able to do that now because of the new name, image, and likeness rules. And he is able to do this as well because he's got a social media following of more than 5 million followers, as Woj points out, across multiple platforms. I've dug in a little bit more. Looks like he's got 3.5 million of those just on Instagram.
He's on the gram there, but over 3? Jeez.
Yep, 3.5 million.
And he's a sophomore.
So basically,
in high school.
It's sort of a different form of Zion was already sort of a viral phenom before he ever picked Duke, and it was because of the way he could dunk.
The dunks, he was big.
His YouTube video, all that stuff was going absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I remember that.
This guy on social media has sort of done something similar. He's got a swag to him that the young folks like. It's not just his game, it's sort of the way he carries himself. I don't know what it is, y'all. I just know me and Brad don't have it anymore.
No.
You know,
no.
We used to try to be cool, used to try to, you know. But this kid is cool. You're either cool or you're not.
That's true.
You can't act cool, okay? And whatever it is, this kid's got it. John Morant got it.
No, he looks the part. He looks cool.
And so part of having that has helped him build this immense following that has made him attractive to even an XL Sports, that an agency that's got Tiger Woods, Joker from Denver Nuggets, Clayton Kershaw, big dogs, okay? Yeah. Even so attractive to them, and as we talked about, it's an advance. They're investing, but they think this kid is going to be a worth investing in because of what he represents. Again, not just potentially a great basketball player. Again, he's only number 7 in 2023, although watch him play. He's awfully poised. But what he could present from a brand standpoint, bringing the sort of the legion of followers that he's got.
Yeah.
About everything you could do from a selling and advertising standpoint when a kid's got a following like that. So that has helped him. It feels like just as much as the basketball skills. We've talked about that all across the board. Whether it's the LSU gymnast or who's the twins that are playing
Fresno State basketball.
Having that following makes you only more attractive when you can bring that to the table too. Right, that's how you really cash in.
Yeah.
But here again, another name, image, and likeness story, and another, in this case, going to be a junior in high school who has said at this point that his plan is still to go the college route.
Right.
Okay. Now, if this kid's going to be, I think Scal brought up a good question. First of all, you going to stay motivated? You going to stay hungry when the millions are coming this soon? And you're getting these advances this soon?
It's going to be hard. It's got to be hard.
Because a lot of I just know that you watch Ja Morant, we use him as an example because he's here and he's gonna feels like he's gonna be a superstar. But a lot of his DNA is what is right is he didn't have it. He didn't get the accolades, he didn't get the recruiting ranking, he didn't get all that. So he stayed hungry.
Right.
And that's how he got there. Well, when you get this early, do you stay hungry? So I think that's a legit question about it. Believe me, go get your money. I'm all for it. Go get, you know, go. It's an open market. That's yeah. Our country. Go get your worth.
Yep.
But it does make me question. Okay, if the kid ends up the college route.
Yep.
And he's a let's just say a millionaire. Whatever the kid himself
sure.
might not have it in his bank, but they've had millions go through their bank. Whatever. You telling me there's not going to be kids on that team that he's on in college? They're going to be jealous and everything else? That there's not going to be some chemistry issues when this kid's got so much more than everybody else?
I think it's...
Nick Saban was touching on that yesterday. It's sort of how you keep team chemistry cool when you're lead dog.
Bryce Young gets
literally getting seven figures, and you can only do so much for the second string wide receiver.
Yep.
But he's not making... So you're going to have some potentially some chemistry and some jealousy issues. I just wonder... Does he stay hungry? Scal brought that question up, and it's a great one. And then this is it's what happens when he gets to a college team if he goes that route, because he said he's not planning to go pro right now. And you're going to put him on a team where there are guys that are going to play with him and going to run through a brick wall with him, and they don't have the same amount of money in their pocket. That to me, and I use him as the example.
Yeah.
You know, team chemistry at every level is going to be affected because your top guy is going to have more than the other guy. You going to be cool with that? You know, it's you can't tell everybody the old, everybody isn't promised a starting position. Y'all are all equal coming in. You know, that's the old coach speak.
Yep.
Y'all, when they come into practice, Brad, you probably done it in your coaching base. You're all equal. Come in. Nothing's promised. All the spots are open. Man, you can't tell college kids that in the name, image, and likeness day and be telling them the truth. Not at the highest level.
Yep.
Because it won't be all equal. It's sort of like Nick was trying to sell, oh, we were previously equal, right? All our scholarships were equal, but now this threatens that. Well, first off, Nick, you weren't equal to start with, but it absolutely threatens to be even more unequal now. And so when you look at it from that standpoint,
well, this is
how are you
actually
gonna keep everybody happy.
To
is
me,
the point.
To me, it's linked a little bit with this conference expansion
kids
discussion.
Kids already don't want to be happy.
The reason why it's linked to the conference expansion discussion that we had about Texas and Oklahoma is the rich are going to get richer, and when you hear Nick Saban saying things like, "This guy is getting $1 million because of our brand," and a million, by the way, whether it's insured or whatever, I get it. It's creative artist agency. You know, it might be a loan. But the truth is,
it's an advance.
Yeah, it's an advance. Yeah, and they're going to get the money at some point, and then they may have to pay it back. But
they're expecting him to go to the NFL.
They expect this to happen, and that there's big money tied up with these young men. And so Nick Saban has totally changed on this, and Alabama now has another weapon to use when you're recruiting, especially when you're talking about the quarterback getting $1 million.
Well, they already had a weapon. Their quarterbacks are being selected in the NFL draft. Now you add that your quarterback is going to get advances in $1 million deals even before he plays.
Yeah.
And that only, again, adds to what the sort of power Alabama have in this thing and how, you know.
Right.
I would think that only the Clemsons and the top of the top are going to be able to compete with that.
That's
in
exactly
terms
right.
of can they provide $1 million.
Can you work with an agency?
Yeah.
Do you have the connections to make something like that happen?
Clemson recruits to that level.
Absolutely.
To where you're willing to bank on the next guy. Clemson be able to have another Trevor Lawrence type to where
Absolutely.
You're willing to. But how many steps down are you going to go after those guys?
That's right.
Maybe you do that for Notre Dame and for, you know, Clemson, Georgia. But then there's a drop-off after that. Because, again, we know that by the same schools we see in the college football playoff every year. So, anyway, I don't know how you compete with that. Like I said, I'm hoping if we do get realignment that Memphis is in it to try to compete with that, and you're one of those 64 in a super conference if that's the way we're going to go. But, again, name, image, and likeness strikes again. In this case, Mikey Williams cashing in. Guy is not even through high school yet, going to be essentially a millionaire.
Next story.
All right, so I wanted to talk a little NFL. We'll start with
the San Francisco 49ers.
So the 49ers, All-Pro Fred Warner has signed a 5-year, $95 million extension with the Niners, making him the highest-paid inside linebacker in the NFL. And then
the Dallas Cowboys.
The Dallas Cowboys, of course, which you can hear here on 92.9 FM ESPN this season, Jason.
Yes,
your Dallas Cowboys.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, Of course, I've changed to a Dallas Cowboys fan because we're going to be on the station. I figured I might as well become a Cowboys fan. I know I get a lot of flack because I flip around a little bit in my NFL fandom, but we've talked about this. It's because I grew up in St. Louis, and they take our teams. They just take them, whether it's the Cardinals or if it's the Rams. You just go to another. By the way, Stan Kroenke is getting sued for a bunch of money because there are records now that when he drug out of St. Louis that he was talking to guys around the NFL and they were going to do that move regardless of what they were telling the fans in St. Louis. But the Cowboys, they're going to be the Hard Knocks team this year. And some fun facts about Hard Knocks.
I saw Jerry crying yesterday.
The cameras are already in Dallas. And Jerry, you know, he said a bunch of things, but the truth is,
man got emotional again.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's Jerry's probably going to be on camera more than some of the players are at this point. In 2002, they were on Hard Knocks. They did not do so well. They didn't make the playoffs. 2008, same thing. Didn't make the playoffs. So there's some thoughts that maybe that's bad luck, but I have better news. Here's the stat of the day. The last time the Bucks won the NBA Finals in 1971, the Cowboys won the next Super Bowl.
Oh, my gosh.
The last time the Suns lost in the NBA Finals in 93, the Cowboys won the next Super Bowl in 1994.
Oh, my gosh. Y'all
ladies and gentlemen.
Reaching.
Your Dallas Cowboys are in line for the Super Bowl, Jason.
I mean, I like the Cowboys. We know this to win the division title. We talked about that earlier this week because they're still what they started camp yesterday,
division.
First day of practice today. Going to get in pads next week. I like them to win that division, but come on, Super Bowl?
I got educated
just
this morning.
Just because Bucks won, what, Bucks won and
yes.
Phoenix? Yeah, you've really lined up the stars there.
So I listened to ESPN this morning, of course, on 92.9, and Jason Fitz educated me on this. They are expecting their defense, Jason, follow me here, to be in the top half. You got Micah Parsons.
Went out and got Dan Quinn, too.
Dan Quinn,
former Atlanta
new
head
coordinator.
Coach,
I mean,
new coordinator. They had to get Mike Nolan out of there. He was blowing it.
So, I mean, the truth is they expect to be better. The first six picks they made were defensive picks, and then they got Van Der Esch healthy on the defensive side. And then on the offensive side.
Still got the homie Jalen Smith, too, who's a physical freak.
He's good. I mean, there are good players over there. And then on offense, you've got Dak Prescott, who is now healthy, and he's expected for full clearance here in the first week of camp. So did
I hear you have a – when I said Jerry crying, did I hear a little bit of disdain in your you didn't like
I won't
that.
Be careful here. I won't be careful.
Hold on. Okay. I know you Jerry was emotional. Is that a better way to put it?
I think Jerry was emotional is a better way to put it.
I get what you're doing. We are the flagship now, and I see what you're doing there, but there is no question that those were tears. And I'm telling you right now, they were cooked up for TV.
Yeah, he's a pretty good actor, isn't he? He's had a lot of work done. He's perfect for TV, you know. He's got the mask on, but
he did a one hour presser yesterday, starting with and they asked him how you gonna get it back to the, you know, three Super Bowls in a 4 year thing that you did in the 90s. The same question he's asked every year, and he broke down.
He also was like, I screwed up with Jimmy Johnson, like. He's changing everything. He's going way back. Like, this man is...
You and I both know, and this was like the first day of camp.
First day of camp. Hey,
you and I
TV's
both know
rolling,
that was
bro.
For, that was for
yeah,
the cameras. Owners aren't going, and even as involved
acting.
As he is on that first day, all of that was for the cameras. Jerry knows what he's doing.
I can't wait for the HBO special to come out, Jason. We got Hard Knocks. This is going to be good.
I don't know. I kind of fell out of love with... high on the Cowboys this year in terms of them winning division. I fell out of love Hard Knocks probably even before this, but when they just kind of tiptoed around the Antonio Brown thing with the Raiders, man, and just made that all puff piece type stuff, I was just done with it. There's no insider stuff with Hard Knocks. Come on. I mean, yeah, you'll get some practice, you know, some practice footage. Some
there'd
B-roll
be some fun
that
stuff.
You,
be
that
some
you
fun
wouldn't
stuff.
Typically
Dax come
see.
Back. You got Dax
but,
come
but,
back.
But they don't ask the questions we've really got, which when he was with the Raiders, it was, okay, how are the Raiders going to handle this? Let's see them hold Antonio Brown accountable. Man, they just beat around the bush with all that kind of stuff. So they flowered it up so much, I hope they're at least a little bit more real this year with the situation in Dallas.
I'm looking forward to Hard Knocks.
It's not all just flowers.
It's something in August, I think, for sports fans. The truth is they probably went back to the Cowboys because they rate. I imagine the Cowboys do real well.
Of course they do. They're still American. I mean, look at the Cowboys fans in Memphis. They're all over this country. Every year they think they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Do you think that Mike McCarthy will figure – because he's had three losing seasons in a row going back to Green Bay now, if you count last year plus the last two. in Green Bay? Do you think this is the year that they – because, I mean, the win total is supposed to be pretty good. Like, they're supposed to win, like, 9-10 games.
I can't put them above Tampa Bay because of what Tampa Bay's got back and what they accomplished last year. I cannot put them above – I'm going to go ahead and call them my Rams. Hell, Darrell Henderson Jr.'s Rams, Matthew Stafford's Rams, because I love that defense, and now they've upgraded
the quarterback. Lost a running back, bro.
So that's two right there. I know, and I loved Cam Akers, but I think they'll get it done by committee with Darrell Henderson Jr. leading the way. That wasn't going to come down to the run
no,
game.
No, that wasn't what they get it done for.
They've upgraded at quarterback, so that can help offset what they've lost with Cam. I'd still have the Rams in this situation above Dallas. Look, Dallas got to fix its offensive line, which had crumbled by the end of the season. Fix its defense, which is a lot.
It is.
That's a lot.
No, you need to at least be in the top half-ish.
We know the offense. That's two big questions.
We know
even with the offensive line being healthier this year, though, that offense going to be good.
Yeah.
So it's going to be good enough, I think, to win the division. Making them a Super Bowl contender, not ready to do that yet. When those folks couldn't stop a bread wagon last year.
Yeah.
Not ready for that yet. But I will be watching with you, Brad, at least for the first couple of episodes as we watch Jerry Jones cry. And hopefully try to get the Dallas Cowboys back to the Super Bowl.
Next story.
Paxton Lynch, guys. Whoa. And I know if John Martin was here and not on paternity leave, he wouldn't want me doing this story.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know how much he loved, and we all did, but John, it was special for him.
What was the video game connection? They both loved video games.
He loved Paxton Lynch. Well, no, John went out on a limb and he said Paxton's got it all.
Mm-hmm. Full package.
Right. Much like, you know, and John's been going out on limbs and being right on some guys.
Sure.
And he's gone out on some limbs, and they have broken.
It happens.
Yeah. And
it
Paxton happens. Lynch was one of those.
Lynch branch?
I'm pretty sure that he thought Paxton was going to be a Pro Bowler. Okay. Remember John Elway? Remember John Elway moved up to get him everything?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, John wasn't the only one.
We were excited about Paxton Lynch.
Yeah.
You were excited.
I just don't think
didn't think he'd be this bad.
I don't think I crowned him in the way that John and some others did.
Okay.
Again, that sounds like blasphemy in Memphis, like you're rooting against
the
Tiger. Nobody doing all that.
Yeah.
I just wasn't ready to do it. He's still playing football, guys.
Yeah. That's good. Where what team picked him up?
That's the good news. He's playing with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Brad.
Hold up.
That's the team.
The hell is a Rough Rider? Is he going to the club?
It's a CFL team. It's a CFL team.
Canada?
And it has been, ladies and gentlemen, as Pro Football Talk pointed out this morning, it's been, I hate to say a fall because he's still playing
rider.
The game he loves.
This man's a rough rider, Jason.
And I'd love to be playing, I'd love to still be playing sports, you know, and getting paid for it, all that. But if you consider that he signed a four-year, $9.4 million contract with the Broncos 5 years ago, guys, as that first-round pick, he's now getting $65,000. With the Rough Riders.
Man, that is a rough ride.
He gets $3,600 for housing, $200 for each game in which he's on the active roster, and $500 for every game in which he takes at least 51% of the snaps.
How much has he made, I wonder? I got to look that up.
So as this story points out, and it's the conclusion you immediately draw, he ain't playing for the money anymore.
He's gotten a good bit of cash just on the bonus cash.
This says that he's trying to reestablish himself, even so to the point that the NFL says, okay, that's impressive enough. Come on back. We'll give you a chance.
Mm-hmm. He's made 1.5. That's what he's already in the bank, probably. Between the signing bonuses, his slot, I mean, he's already got a good bit.
Well, I mean,
actually, career earnings, $8 million. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, he signed a four-year, $9 million deal.
Nine.
Now, he might not have gotten all that, but I'm assuming he got most of it.
So it's the career earnings, it says, is $8.8 million.
That makes a lot more sense.
There's another site that said his value is one. I don't know how that works. I'm assuming he got the $8 million, though.
He's trying to get back in the NFL because even if you can get back in.
Yeah, that was $8 million guaranteed. He's $8.8 million. Yeah.
He doesn't have to have starter dreams. Remember, if you can get in the NFL, the minimum salary is like $1 million.
Yeah.
So that's why there's still money to be made.
Mm-hmm.
He's still hoping that going through this, being at a point where you're having to get money for housing, $65,000 a year, $200 for each game that you're on the roster, he's not hoping to, you know, keep his. He's hoping to get through this to get to the $1 million.
Get back in the league.
Minimum guarantee that if you're a backup or a third string quarterback. And listen, I didn't say all this to say, man, look at Paxton Lynch and ha-ha, it didn't work.
Sure.
But here's a guy who is clearly the knock on him early, at least in Denver, from the folks that were around that franchise, was that he didn't take it seriously enough. And now, all of these years later, 5 years, it's like it's kicked in a little bit. It's kicked in, unfortunately, too late.
This is the thing we were talking about with Scal. Like, you got to want it. Even if you make $8 million, you got to, if you want to stay in the league, you got to be a grinder, man.
When you are a first round pick, it cannot be, it certainly not be more about seeing yourself or trying to win a video game,
right.
Seeing yourself
exactly,
on a video
exactly
game
right.
Or whatever else at that point than it is trying to get in that playbook.
Yeah.
And again, when you're taking in the first round as a quarterback, brother, all the weight's on you, especially when you're taking it, you know, John Elway's taking you.
That's right.
And so it's a sad story, unfortunately, that it feels like he didn't take it quite seriously enough at the beginning, and now he's having to try to play catch up
right.
Because he's running, you know, he's trying to. He sees
sure.
the I had the ability. Maybe if I had taken a little bit, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I hope it all works out for him, that in this sense, again, that you get through this season with Saskatchewan, whatever else, and an NFL team says, you know what, we're ready to have you come on over,
yeah.
And he can get back to a point where he can make it $1 million on a minimum deal. But again, a lesson for all of us: you can't rest on your laurels, man. You can't once you know your first round draft pick, or you're the
right.
Hell, you're the janitor at work. You better keep working, man, because it can all be taken away, and then you don't want to be playing catch up later.
Better quarterback, Tim Tebow or Paxton Lynch?
Well, damn, Tebow won a playoff game.
Yeah.
Even as
couldn't throw a ball, but he could run.
Couldn't hit the side of a barn, but he did. He did in that game for that game against Pittsburgh.
They basically did the Wildcat with him, if I recall.
Uh-huh. A lot of that. Man,
a lot of running.
I mean, you come on. I mean, you have, because he won, you'd have to go
Tebow, right?
But
I think you're right.
But from a skill standpoint, I mean, Paxton could actually get around. He was athletic. He was tall. He was almost too tall,
that's
but he was athletic. He could get around, and he could make the throws.
Right.
So, I mean, if you're asking me just on pure skill who was better, I'd say Paxton. But we know it's not all about that.
No.
Half the time, it's what's between your heads, what kind of leader you are. And that, in some kind of crazy way, was what got Tim to to where he got to with those, you know, with those lackluster skills. He was able to do that as a leader and everything else. And let's be real, the man won a playoff game.
Yeah.
As an NFL quarterback. Paxton Lynch can't claim that. So I have a hard time not saying Tim Tebow was better because the results are a little bit better.
Just a little bit better.
And I think that's why you've got to give him the nod there,
okay.
Bro.
Next story.
Okay, I've got one more that I haven't brought up. And, you know, I want to be careful here because I know it's sensitive.
It must be about Jerry Jones. I see how careful we got to be talking about him.
Yeah, and I don't want to rail on Jerry because Jerry's just trying to make that money. I mean, he's got the TV special going on.
You have changed. They're the flagship, so you've laid the law down today without just blatantly telling me we don't talk crazy about Jerry Jones no more.
No, y'all could. As you know, I do not micromanage takes on this radio station.
You jump back on with Dallas, and that means we're going to keep it right and tight about Jerry Jones.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Your boys.
I just want to support the flagship, the mothership, the Dallas Cowboys, which you can hear this fall on 92.9. I'm just trying to.
We hear you.
It's all about business. Jason, it's not personal. It's business. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
But this is about baseball. And, you know, listen.
Don't.
Listen, last night, you know, I was late. Sometimes you're up. Maybe you're watching some talent show.
Let me tell you what we're not going to do.
Cubs Cardinals
game. We are not going to do this every day.
Well, I know John's not here, so this is a great opportunity to just get an update from you because I didn't see the end of the game. You know, I fell asleep.
Man, stop.
Ninth inning, and then the Cardinals just blew it.
Nobody give a damn about y'all winning 3-2 and 10
innings. Cardinals hit three batters, two in a row, as a matter of fact. Gant hit with the ball. We can't stop hitting. And that's the thing about the Cubs. They're like ball magnets. Like, the ball is just attracted to hitting them. Mm-hmm. It must be a Cub thing. But I didn't see the end of it. Did you happen to see what happened with Yadier Molina? I heard Yadier did something. I don't know what it was.
I was not watching.
Okay.
I think we came back from down 2-1, actually. Tied it up. Went to extra innings.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like old Cubs killer Molina got us on a double. Game-winning double to win it.
Game-winning double. That's
congrats.
Right.
You're going nowhere. I'm
two
going nowhere.
Two small-ass teams.
So we are going to have to stop. But clearly, winning the season series is important to both you and me because the winner keeps bringing it up.
Yeah.
Even though our teams suck.
Here's what I want to ask you because there's about to be a fire sale in Chicago.
Man, stop.
We're
not giving you any of them. Why would we give them to the Cardinals that can hurt us for years to come?
Chris Bryant didn't even play. Like, they're putting him on ice, man. They don't
want to. Another thing I thought about him, too, is that we were saying, well, you can't put him at third with you guys. Well, half the time, Chris Bryant's out in the outfield anyway.
You put him in the outfield.
You guys could stick him out there.
I could get down with Chris Bryant.
We're not making any deals with the Cardinals.
No,
this is a ridiculous conversation. We're not. What? We would be fools.
Can
we
you
would
imagine
be
if
absolute
they do,
fools to do.
And Chris
whether
Bryant
it's
hates
Baez or Chris Bryant or anybody, right?
Yeah.
St. Louis hates him because of what he said.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he doesn't like St. Louis.
Not to mention he hadn't been able to hit there for the most part until maybe a little bit better this season. But anyway, neither here nor there.
I heard they did lose.
That series is over, isn't it? You guys took 2 out of 3 this time?
2 out of 3.
And now it's what?
Oh, actually, we got another game tonight. They're doing a fourth game.
I think it's four game series.
Yeah, so they're going to do another one against.
So you have a chance really to take 3 out of 4 and really try to even this thing up. What is it? 7 out of 11. 7-11.
Yeah,
you're 4-7 against us now.
Game is on 790, our sister station tonight at 6:15, Jason.
You
and
still
then we play.
Keep talking about them Sar Cardinals.
Listen, it's the only thing I got during some of these summer months. You know, I will say they are going to have baseball on the Olympics. So if you're a baseball fan, the Olympics are going to have baseball. Jake seems excited about it, so I don't know what players we're going to see because they're all the pros are not there. But
yeah, who's over there?
It's the younger players. I think they're collegiate or they're like these 17, 18-year-olds.
So we're going to lose.
To
who? To Cuba?
Cuba,
Dominican
maybe?
Republic?
I would assume that would be.
I haven't seen the field for baseball. We'll
give you some Olympic baseball breakdowns as we get closer here.
And what we're going to do at 1, and you guys can jump in as well on this, some of you already have, is we're going to go through a list. Told the story in the open how I adore me some Jill Scott.
Yeah.
You know, she is a light of the world. I'll tell you that right now.
Japan is favored. There, I got your. There's the breaking
Japan
news.
Japan is favored in baseball.
Yeah, that's what I'm just reading it from the Action Network here. Japan is favored.
Jill Scott right now acting in First Wives Club on the great BET Plus. Now, I'm not telling y'all go get BET Plus because I know half y'all listening ain't going to do it anyway. But it reminded me of something. It reminded me of how you can be super talented in more than one area. And Jill Scott, 3-time Grammy winner as a singer, is also a fantastic actress. Love watching her.
Yeah.
Other great singers, musical performers, rappers turned great actors. We're going to get into a list of those at 1 o'clock. Bring them to the table. Some of you have already submitted those. We'll get into those. Appreciate the submission so far. Starting with Jill Scott, but we've already touched on a few. Brad loves LL Cool J.
You've poo-pooed on LL. I can't believe how much you hate LL Cool J.
Brad's first submission, y'all, was LL Cool J. Not Bette Midler.
She's on my list, too. She's on the list.
Not old, was it Bing Crosby, Brad?
Cher, yeah.
I thought you'd have Cher on there as well.
Yeah, she's up there.
Dwight Yoakam seemed like up your alley.
He's a pretty good actor, though.
We're going to do that. Well, Kris Kristofferson, you ever heard of him?
I do. Yeah, I know him.
See, you're supposed to be bringing them to the table. Not me. I'm helping you out there.
Yeah.
We're going to do that at 1 o'clock and much more. 125, we'll talk to Jeff Calkins like we do every Thursday. You listen to Jason and John, 929 FM, ESPN.
Jason and John.
Kendrick Perkins.
What do you think on the other side of that team they beat the Utah Jazz the other night and what felt like a Mike Conley night, right? He returns home.
You know, Mike Conley the defensive player, Rudy Gobert.
Big Perk, I like the way you say Gobert. Like, you don't even play with that French pronunciation. You just go straight in on Gobert.
The Jason and John Show. Weekdays 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. 92.9 FM ESPN. Memphis's sports station.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to
other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back again.
Barbecue and sports in Memphis go together perfectly with us. You're listening to the Jason and John Show live from the Topps Barbecue Studios. Online at toppsbarbecue.com. And with a new location in Bartlett on Stage Road, the best barbecue and burgers from Topps go perfectly with sports. On 92.9 FM, ESPN.
I'd rather walk down and get them all. You know what I'm talking about, right? Look, I'm never going nowhere, so don't try me. My music sticks in fans' veins like an ivy. Flows poison like ivy. Oh, they cry. Already offers on my sixth album for labels.
There's a guy who could be on that list of performers, rappers, singers, turn actors, right? Because Luda was in the Fast and Furious, the entire thing. When he hadn't been in like all nine, they never killed him off, did he? He lasted throughout the whole thing, did it? With Tyrese, with my man Tyrese.
Luda's good.
Luda also was a. He was in Hustle and Flow, wasn't he?
What was his role in that?
DJ was trying to get a tape into Luda's hands, had to take that fool into the bathroom stall. It's one of me and my brother's favorite movies, Hustle and Flow. You don't remember that?
Was he skinny black?
He was skinny black.
Skinny black, yeah.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And Isaac Hayes had told him, man, go holler at Skinny Black.
Go talk to Skinny Black.
And
that was
DJ
ludicrous.
Was out, and they were doing a little smoking. He had Ludacris's attention. He went in the bathroom. And man, dude had thrown his tape in the damn toilet. Was peeing on it.
Yeah, I think Luda's a good actor. I like Ludacris a lot.
What a hell of a performance! We will never forget Hustle and Flow.
Skinny Black,
Memphis movie. Skinny Black was fantastic. I think he was actually better in that as Skinny Black. If we're speaking of Luda and roles, than he's been in Fast and Furious.
Really?
Is that controversial? I don't know.
I don't think that's controversial. I think it's the type of film it is.
I know there are a lot of Fast and Furious fans out there and folks that have stuck with this thing all the way through, probably going crazy right now because they love Luda in it or whatever.
Yeah.
But Luda, to me, is Skinny Black was better than anything he's done in Fast and Furious.
So, like, if you want to submit, we posted on you put it on your Twitter and you can chime in there.
We're going to do that at 1 o'clock.
We open the phones if you want.
Possibly. Pop. We may have enough submissions. I don't know.
We got a lot of them
might,
here.
It might get crazy. We'll do that. We'll do that at 1 o'clock. Before we do, though, wanted to talk about, because we didn't get it to it in rundown, the ratings of this year's NBA Finals. Now, there's a little bit of good news, and then, frankly, a bunch of bad news for the NBA. We'll knock out the little bit of good news first, is that they were up. The thing is, you would expect them to be up from last year when things were in the bubbles, the Lakers obviously against the Heat. It's a 32% increase over last year's series between the Lakers and the Heat, like we said, for Bucks and for Phoenix. Averaged 9.91 million viewers for these finals. Lakers Heat series, which was played in October, you remember, like we said, in the bubble in Orlando.
Yeah, that's different.
Only averaged 7.45. So even that had LeBron in it last year, but we were not watching. And my gosh, how much time did we spend on ratings and why folks weren't watching? Felt like we spent months on it last year.
Did we ever
year.
Get to a reason why that was super low last year?
Well, part of it was just time time of year and sort of what, you know, our routine. But another part of it was
drawn to Netflix and all these other sources.
That too. But let's be real too. There were a bunch of folks that weren't watching because they didn't feel like it was about basketball. They got after George Floyd and basketball players. Putting on their jerseys, how they felt about their civil issues, everything else, racial issues in this country. Bunch of people tuned out. And so that added to it too. And I think specifically when you because everybody's asking, does this mean you got to have Golden State or LeBron or something? Well, you had LeBron last year. People still tuned out.
Right.
Clearly, part of this country last year said no. Because I'm not going to watch basketball. Clearly, part of this country last year said that. Now, I think part of it too was the fact you were in the bubble. This wasn't the regular routine. Yeah. We weren't, half of us weren't in sort of that mode.
It was a difficult year.
And so that was part
time.
Of it too. But let's be real. A lot of folks tuned out because they didn't like what they were seeing and what they were hearing. When it came to NBA players expressing themselves and their beliefs. Right. We'll leave it at that. San Antonio. 2 years ago, this was just San Antonio's their 2007 four-game sweep of Cleveland drew more, $9.29 million. The Spurs' six-game victory over New Jersey in 2003 drew $9.83 million. Those are the other series to average fewer than $10 million since 1997. The point is, this is one of only four that have averaged fewer than $10 million since 1997, along with those aforementioned ones, San Antonio, Cleveland, Spurs, New Jersey. Uh-huh. So overall, it was not great. You wonder how much of that we said, sure, you're getting new blood with Devin Booker, right? Giannis Antetokounmpo getting to this point. You're getting new blood, but you're also getting small markets.
You're not getting the coasts.
You're not getting the coast. They're tuned out.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be a different thing if New York or Brooklyn even is in this thing. But you don't get the coasts, and I think that's a big reason, clearly, for the numbers going down. Now, that last game attracted the most viewers in the series. Maybe you'd expect that because it was a closeout game. Averaged 12.52 million viewers. Audience peaked, as you'd expect, between 11:30 p.m. and 11:45 p.m. That doesn't matter as much. This year's playoffs overall averaged 4.25 million, up 35% last year, but down 18% compared to 2019. So. I give you all those numbers to ask you this. Have we sort of overplayed the, NBA is ready for the new faces. Yeah, the NBA going to be just fine. Was there clearly something missing again this year? The fact that, this was a little bit more normal, not completely normal, but a little bit more normal. You didn't have the LeBrons, the Stephs, the Golden States, and things were down considerably from where they were even 2 years ago before the bubble. Is that a result of you didn't have the stars? You didn't have the coast? Is that what you would put most of the weight on?
Yes.
Okay.
I put it most on smaller markets. So if you had a San Antonio and Memphis Grizzlies Western Conference Finals, and then the finals went to, even if it went Brooklyn and Memphis, you wouldn't see big numbers because Memphis is in a, it's a top 50 market, but it's number 50.
It's how much is the rest of the country going to care. It's how much the rest of the country
going to
care.
And no one, frankly, cares like here in Memphis like we do. I think the product is really good. I still think you can have both things be true. I think it can be true that the ratings are down because of the smaller markets, and it can also be true that the big-time NBA fans like me and you loved it. And I loved it. I think that's true. I think the experience this year for those 9 million that watched was like, I thought it was really good. The Giannis thing, and the Giannis thing continues. They're releasing a Giannis book now.
He's smart and better release cash in while you can. Yeah. You never know if you can get this again.
And I'm excited. I'm actually going to read it because the guy is seemingly just super likable.
No question. Look at his background coming from Greece, Nigerian immigrant. Yeah. Greece. I mean, he was on.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.